AD, that was when that Jerusalem was, some people think that. I mean, some people think it's going to be when he comes back after the tribulation period. There's all kinds of thinking, but the Bible is really clear that we'll be raptured out prior to the great tribulation period. We'll be with Jesus while all that's going on with the nation of Israel. So anyway, let's pray. I'll pray with us and we'll kind of get started here today. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your shed blood, Lord. We love you so for what you did on the cross. And because of what you did on the cross, we now, those of us that accepted your shed blood for our sins, nothing we can do to get it, nothing to keep it. We just believe, and you have saved us. God, we thank you for that. And Lord, we know from your word that we're going to be in heaven when all the bad stuff really starts. It's not there yet. There's still a lot that got to be happened. But it could be finished today. So Lord, we just pray that we can use and understand this to help others know their need for Christ and how urgent it is that it could happen any day, that you could come back in the clouds and call us home. God, we just pray for our church services today. I pray that you'd help Pastor Chappell as he preaches to touch hearts, change lives with your word, see people saved. Lord, we think of all those that are on our list, prayer list, Lord. So many people have cancer. So many people are sick, just can't get well. And Lord, I pray you touch each one of these lives. Lord, deal them with these sicknesses. Without you, Lord, it would be almost impossible to deal with sickness. And Lord, we know everything passes before you, Lord, and you're in control. But sometimes it's hard, God, for folks that are dealing with terrible diseases and sickness. And Lord, as we get older, we start looking forward to going to heaven. And Lord, we just thank you for all the promises and all the hope that you give us through the cross. You've given us all this hope. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, give us understanding of what's going to happen here in end times. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Okay, let's kind of go back just a little bit so I can bring you up to date. If you'll look at page 1, I just numbered them by hand down in the right-hand corner. But I used that crazy machine in there to copy some of this stuff, and it put it on both sides and back and forth. And I finally got it figured out, or Pam did, one or the other. But anyway, so the first page is where we started a couple weeks ago. There you see on Matthew is on the left side there, the threefold question that the disciples ask him there on Mount Olives. And he was teaching them what was going to happen. And then as he started speaking there in the first answer, you'll see on that page 1, it's the first seal of the scroll. So Christ has got the scroll in his hand, the book that only he can open, and things start. So then you see Revelation chapter 6, how it's compared to those what Christ was saying on the Mount Olives there and all that discourse. So there on page 2, we see the second seal about wars and all the trouble that's the rumors and wars and all those things that are going on. And for all these things must come to pass, Christ said, but the end is not yet. So we're seeing things that's got to come to pass according to Matthew 6 and 7 here. And then you can go over on the Revelation side and see what it says there when the Holy Spirit and John got to see heaven and opened his eyes to all this, and he wrote down what he understood, what God was giving him, what the angels was giving him at that time. Now, go to page 2. Let's just move right along. We're going to get down to the next answer here in a minute. Page 2, you may have to take that thing apart. I stapled it together, so you kind of get it. We just started stapling. We were in a hurry, got here just a while ago to do this. Anyway, Matthew 24:7, and we see nations rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. So why does it say both? Nations mean nationality, kingdoms means countries. And if you take that, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places from these wars that we're seeing in the Central Europe there, and now in Israel, we're start seeing that food becomes an issue. Famines, disease, people hurting, because war always brings that. And we can see what it says there in Revelations chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. So let's move on down. We talked about that, I think, last week. And now we're on the fourth seal. Pestilence and death comes from all that's going on in the world. We start to see people dying from these pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And we just had a bad earthquake somewhere last week, 2 weeks ago. It killed lots and lots of people in one of these third world countries. And we can see that Revelations 6, 7, and 8, verses 6, 7, and 8 there, talks about the same thing, compares to what Christ was saying there on Mount Olives. And then we look at I think we got through seal number 5 yesterday, martyrdom, and talks about the folks that are going to be killed because of the cause of Christ. I never thought we'd get where we're at in this country is what I'm thinking about. And we see what's going on in the streets across this country and people standing behind that terrorist group and what they did, and will not believe the media won't believe. Well, I don't believe half the media either, but they won't believe the Israel saying what happened, and they have pictures to prove what happened, how they treated people and children and families and what they did to them. It was horrible, and we got crowds and people standing up around the world saying, get rid of Israel. It's just makes no logical sense. But then when you start bouncing it back off the Bible and God prepping the nation of Israel for what's getting ready to happen, you know, God's bringing Israel down to that point to where the next thing on the scene is going to be the Antichrist, and he's going to promise peace to that part of the world. Well, you can see how if somebody stepped in right now and said, I've got a deal done with all these nations, and we're just going to stop. We're going to lay the weapons down. And you can see how even Israel would stop over that, and how all these other countries in the area would stop, because this man is going to be the Antichrist, and he's going to stand up and fool people. And we know that we're not talking about the tribulation period here. I can later on, but 3.5 years into the tribulation period, that peacemaker turns into what he really is. He's going to wipe out the nation of Israel, or try to. And many will be killed, and many in the world will be killed with that war again. The war that we see now is regional there. It's going to spread. And all those, they talk about the 10 nations that used to be the Roman Empire, north of the Mediterranean Sea is going to come down, and they're going to try to all get together, and they're all going to try to wipe out the nation of Israel 3.5 years into the tribulation period. So that seal's not been opened yet. We're still prior to this martyrdom can start. These people you see rioting, it's a religious group that we know that most of these people are, and they do not like Christians. They do not like us. Folks, we could have knocking on our door. Things are going to get that bad, probably. Maybe not here. Maybe not here. We live in an awful, wonderful part of the world, don't we? And a lot of peace. But you see all these new people moving in. I mean, they're houses by the hundreds being built and people moving in. So you just never know. The world is getting ready. The Bible talks about the rumblings of this. It's like a woman in early stages of pregnancy, she starts having pains. And from that, she knows what's going to happen. She knows when those pains start coming, She knows that she's getting close to having a baby. Just like the parable of the fig tree we're going to look at here in just a minute. When you look at these, let's just talk about apple trees. When we, in the springtime, we see apple trees blooming if the frost don't get them. And we know what's coming when you see that bloom. That's what that parable of the fig tree is all about. When you see the fig tree blooming, you know what's coming in the summer. You're going to have figs by fall. How near is that? And Christ uses that as an example. Let's move on to page 3, okay? Just sort through your papers there and find page 3. It may be on the back of 2 or whatever. Let's just start the top of page 3 there. We're still under the fifth seal, martyrdom. And it says, Christ said in Matthew there, 24:10, and then shall many be offered, offended, I'm sorry, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Do we not see that today? I mean, that is so real. I never thought I'd see that in this country like it's going on right now. That it's many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. These kids out of these colleges are so being deceived. They've been taught stuff that is not true, half truths. They know not the truth about Israel. You know, and they were talking about from the river to the sea. People had no idea what that means. And if you look at the map that the description of what God gave the nation of Israel, it's actually from Babylon all the way to the coast. The whole area there is the royal grant that God set apart for the nation of Israel. Because if you remember that Abraham started from Ur of the Chaldees on the river over there and went up through Babylon and around the top north and came back down the coast. So all that. And now, I mean, I saw the prime minister of Israel the other day, and he was saying from the Jordan Sea out, primarily what they have now. People understand the West Bank and Gaza and all what's going on there right now. But if you go back into the Old Testament, it goes all the way over to the Euphrates River and where Babylon's at. So it goes over there. And anyway, from the river to the sea, I mean, you know, and they're chanting these things, saying, get rid of Israel, get them out of there. So you can see how this is all going to keep congealing into some effort, even if it gets calmed down, which it will. There's going to be another war, and it's going to be worse than this one that's going on. It's going to be more of a regional thing. So, and we don't know the times on this. Christ did not tell anybody how soon it is. All we know is it happens in the church age. And we know from 1 Thessalonians that in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be raptured out, the dead in Christ first. We know those things before the seventh seal gets opened. We will be in heaven. So the second answer here, so if you look back on page 1, I've got the three questions written there on the right. It says, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And then Christ says here in Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then I went and put Daniel over beside that, what Christ was talking about, what Daniel said in the Old Testament. In Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now that week that Daniel's talking about there, that is the 7-year tribulation period. So, and he shall confirm that he is the Antichrist. Okay? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease. So we're saying in the middle of the week, which is 3.5 years, So this is Daniel talking about this. When God moved on him and allowed him to see into the future, he did not get to see the church age. It was like he was seeing the peaks that was dealing with Israel, not the Gentiles. Daniel had no idea at that time that the Gentiles were going to be saved and we were going to have a church age that we live in. He didn't see that. He seen the future. He seen Christ on the cross. He looked across the church age, didn't see it. And the next thing he saw was the rapture of Christ coming back in the clouds, rapturing the saved people out. So, and then the next thing he saw was him coming back and the judgments and all that that went on into the future. So Daniel didn't get to see this age. He didn't understand it. It wasn't mentioned in his writings. It was kind of not left out, but God intentionally didn't. I think it would have caused him at that time, a Jew, maybe, I'm just speculating, maybe if God had allowed him to see all the church age as a whole, he may have been confused in what was going to happen in the future. God used Daniel exactly the way he wanted to use him. He gave him exactly what he wanted to use. And here we are today confirming what Christ said in the Olivet Discord in some thousand years before or more, what Daniel said, and then looking at what John said in Revelations in 19 and all through that part of Revelations there in 6, that Daniel was exactly right. How can such a time period and all these people saying the same thing? Because it's God. It's the Holy Spirit that came down on these Old Testament prophets of Daniel. It's the Holy Spirit that comes on us today that helps us understand what these verses are saying and how it's all connected. In three or four places, I mean, you could take and reference this sheet. You could just keep going out beside it, just on that one statement. There's other places that Christ, and other places that Paul said things, and they were saying things that they may have not understood. You think when God told him he had to go to the Gentiles, what did he think about that? I mean, he was preaching to the Jews and understood that some of them just didn't want to hear it. And finally God opened up the door, said, you need to go to the Gentile nation. And then he started going on his mission trips and seeing the Gentile nation saved. So let's read on down here in Matthew 16. Then let them which be, and free the mountains, go to the housetop. Yeah, he's talking about trying to save themselves there in verse 16, 17, and 18 on page 4. And okay, then there on page 4, Christ mentions the great tribulation. For then, so he's talking about the nation of Israel, all these people fleeing in the first 3.5 years, and then all of a sudden, halfway through this thing, as Daniel was talking there, bad stuff starts happening. And then Christ, if you'll go from that Daniel 9:27 and then jump right over here to Matthew 24:16, and it talks about, don't take anything with you, get out of town, don't even go back and get your clothes. Woe to people with children. I mean, in that day, I mean, it's just a bad scene and happening, and people fleeing this Antichrist and starting war in Israel there, in that part of the world. And then in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. So we're talking about such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor even shall be. So there's a war at the end of the thousand-year reign with Satan, But he's saying this is going to be so bad, it's not even going to be that bad. This is going to be really bad, the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So we're seeing that it not only starts, people start, the Antichrist, you know, we've read and talked about wanting the mark of the beast. The nation of Israel, a lot of people, and we've talked about also I think I talked about it two or three months ago, about the 144,000 that God allows, opens their hearts and mind. When we are raptured, a lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit's not going to be present no more. Well, the Holy Spirit is present just as the devil and his angels are present in the atmosphere of this earth. The Holy Spirit is working too. We all have that Holy Spirit dwelling richly in us. Just because we are raptured to heaven does not mean that the Holy Spirit leaves. He's still going to be here, because people are going to get saved during that tribulation period. From these 144,000 that are going to be preaching, they're going to see people saved. So the Holy Spirit's still going to be working during the tribulation period. But people are going to suffer because of this, because when the martyrdom part kicks in, and if you don't take the mark, you don't get anything. You don't get to eat or nothing. I heard the other day they were talking about these chips that we have in our cards, our credit cards. Somebody was talking about putting one of them in your hand, or put it on you somewhere. Well, what they're talking now, I heard a discussion about this. All this stuff is out there, and it's possible to happen today. Is they can, if you've got one of those apps on your phone, like it's called 360, that Pam and I have it on our phones, that in any of our loved ones that we want to keep track of where they're at in their car, our children, our grandchildren, you just get on the phone and you can tap that 360 button, and it shows you where they're at. Shows you where they've been, show you how fast they're going, shows you whether they're walking or not. All that information just right at your fingertips. So they're talking about this chip that they're going to put in people, or give people, or put in their credit card. I don't know how long this is going to be, but they're talking it. The technology's there. They're going to only allow you to move so much. You're going to be like restricted to 15 miles. If you go outside of 15 miles, your credit don't work. Think about that. They can control where you shop and control what you buy from that. If they don't want you buying steak but once a month, you try to use your chip and it is not going to work because you've already bought that. Or if you're outside your area of influence, the 15 or 20 miles that they set that chip to, that technology is here today. So the Antichrist is going to use this thing. We never could have wrapped our minds around all that until these days that we have with this computer everybody walks around in their pocket. I mean, I can see where she's at all the time. Out traveling, out walking, in the mall, it pinpoints her. It shows me sitting in my house in front of my fireplace. Now you think about that, because of all the satellite technology and these chips. And the Antichrist is going to use that, folks, to control the nation of Israel. To control the nation of Israel. It's all here. It's all right in front of us. This war is the technology and all this. So here we have, in verse 21, Christ introducing the word Great Tribulation. And expect those days should be shortened. There should be no flesh be saved, but the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. So there's a lot in that little verse right there. We could get crazy looking at all that, who's going to be and who's not and all of that. And, you know, these false prophets and all that's going on during that tribulation. That's during the tribulation. I don't want to get off in that right now. If you want me to, I'll do that later. We can get down deep into the tribulation period.
So the sixth seal here, we see physical changes. On page 4 there, immediately after the tribulation, those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Sounds pretty serious to me. The whole galaxy is going to be groaning because of what's going on with the nation of Israel. And it says in Revelation 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. I was on Mount Etna when I was in the service. Got an opportunity. I was on the island of Sicily, and I took a bus and went out to see Mount Etna because it was an active volcano at the time, and I wanted to see one. I wanted to experience the earth moving and the smell and all the smoke and all that stuff. It was an awesome, most powerful thing that you can think of. If you've ever seen one or been up on one, it's beyond understanding the power that's coming out of the earth and the smoke. If we have all these earthquakes at the same time, there is no doubt in my mind that it will darken the sky, and you probably won't see the sun for a long time, if you do. Because if you start having all these earthquakes everywhere and these volcanoes start erupting, spitting all that dust and dirt into the atmosphere, it's going to darken the air. And you're going to have, like they talk about, nuclear winter, when it throws all that dust up into the air and it does nothing but stay damp and cold and snow. And you can't see the stars, you can't see the moon. And this is some of these kind of things, these natural things that's happened before. I made some notes there. I don't know, on the bottom of page 4. On May the 19th in 1780 in New England and parts of the Canada, there was days back then that they couldn't see anything, that was dark. In November the 12th and 13th and 1833, there was a meteor storm that they estimated that 50,000 to 150,000 stars fell per hour. What a scene that must have been. And one of these darkened things happened in England too. And because of the smoke and everybody burning wood and coal and all that, and the same thing in Canada, it's cold up there, it just stuck. And we've seen that smoke thing this year where smoke came down from all the wildfires, and we've seen a little bit of that here lately. We've had a lot of wildfires in Kentucky and West Virginia. Folks, it's easy to understand that smoke and dust and all that is going to darken the sun and the moon and the stars. But why should we even question God? It's my mind that thinks about all these things. I think, well, how can that happen? But you can physically figure it out with science. But we don't need science to figure that out. We have it in God's written word. It will happen. Whether we believe it or not, the word says it. It will happen. And this is just the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The first 3 years is not so bad on the nation of Israel. Then we go to page 5. And we talk about the fig tree there at the bottom of page 4. And I mentioned that a while ago in Revelations, and the heavens departed, and the scroll, when it had been rolled together, even the mountains and the islands were moved out of their place. Talking about earthquakes and that kind of thing. And now in Matthew 24:32, there on page 5, we learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches are not yet tender and putting forth leaves, ye know the summer is nigh. So these guys knew fig trees. They knew that part of the world. And they understood that when you see things blooming, you know what's coming. The figs are coming. The apples are coming, or pears, or whatever. We know that. So likewise, ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door, Christ said. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation, now what generation is that? The generation I believe that he's talking about is the generation of the church age, us. All these things has got to come to pass. And are they coming to pass? They are. They're ready. And what's not happened is going to happen. Everything's in place. But, it says there in 36, Christ said, But for that day the hour knoweth no man. Not the angels in heaven don't even know. But my Father only. God's the one that only knows. God's the only one that knows what's going to happen. I'm going to have to quit. It's time. And if you want to look there, what is the seventh seal book? And we could look at that seventh seal, but it starts talking about all the things that are going to happen. When he opens that seventh seal up, that is talks about all those things that are going to fall out from heaven on earth, what the angels are going to do and how they're going to deal with the Antichrist and the false prophets and all that right on to the end. In that seventh seal, all that's in there. So are we at the fifth seal, or are we at the sixth seal? Or where are we? We don't know. But Christ says when you see all these things, you better be ready. And being ready is being saved, because it is going to happen. I mean, I can reason through some of this scientifically just as easy. But biblically speaking, my faith in what God says in his word, I believe it. I'm in. God's ready to step back and start this process with the nation of Israel. And we may be seeing the beginning of it right now. All right, let's pray. I need to quit. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Lord, just help us, give us understanding of this so we can tell others, tell our families, say, look what's going to happen. If you're not saved, you're going to be dragged into this mess with the nation of Israel. Lord, help us understand that our loved ones need to be saved, our friends need to be saved, because they're going to get left behind if they're not in the church, if they've not trusted what Christ did on the cross. Lord, help us to use this as a tool to show people that time is so close. God, we love you. Give us a good day in church. Be with Paul Chappell as he speaks. Give us something from your word. See people saved, lives changed. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.